One of Jesus' biographers, Luke, tells a story of an encounter that Jesus had with 10 guys who had a terrible terminal illness. 10 guys, terrible terminal illness. It's found in Luke 17, and if you open up your program and get that yellow insert, I've stuck it there because I'm using a different translation today, the contemporary English version. I think you'll like it, though. It goes like this. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going along into a village, 10 men with leprosy came to him. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus, he looked at them and he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." On the way, they were healed. When one of them discovered that he was healed, he came back shouting praises to God. He bowed down at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. The man was from a country called Samaria. Jesus asked, "Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Was this foreigner the only one who came back to thank God?" You know, this story is an incriminating indictment. An indictment by God Himself against basic human character. 9 out of 10 who got a second lease on life didn't show up to say thanks. 9 who knew better, because they were Jews. They just experienced a life-saving miracle. And no one stops by to say thanks. What's going on here? Jesus exposes the tragic truth that people like you and I, even religious people, are prone to thanklessness, aren't we? And we're quickly forgetful of the favors others do. And then Jesus said to this man, he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And I think that Jesus is looking at this guy's heart when he makes that statement. Your grateful faith has made you well. Well, not just on the outside, but well on the inside. You got a healthy heart because you've got gratitude there. You get it. You get it, buddy. This guy who really doesn't have a clue about religion, he gets it. He gets it inside after he got it outside, didn't he? It's been said, and this is the first fill-in point, it's been said that gratitude is a thermometer of spiritual health, and gratitude is medicine that promotes spiritual health. Gratitude is a thermometer, and it's a medicine. The grateful guy is healthier than the other 9, isn't he? And he's not religious. Jesus singles this guy out, and it shows me something. It ought to show you something, that God notices your gratitude. That's right. God takes note of your thankfulness. It's something that catches his attention. It caught Jesus. You see, gratitude pleases God. And it also benefits you in a big way. It's medicine that promotes spiritual health. Listen, this is what Proverbs says. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. How many of you found that to be true? A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Man, I found that to be truth, so true in my life. And fact is that happy people are healthier people. You can look up the studies. They're healthier in general. And a positive attitude helps you live life more fully. If you want to live a happier life, then and live for God's pleasure, because that's true worship, then you need to train yourself to be thankful. And frankly, I think we need to train ourselves to be thankful, because I think we naturally slip into thanklessness. Anybody agree with me? I think that it's our natural kind of condition to slip into thankfulness, to become ungrateful. So how do you train yourself to be thankful? First way, second filling point. Point number one, thank God for the basics. Thank God for the basics. There's a hymn whose chorus goes, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Man, that's great advice on a basic discipline that'll brighten your day every day. And that's what King David is driving at, I think, when he sings this. He says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, the Bible says that, man, if you wake up and you're vertical, it's a good day. Hello? I buried somebody yesterday. Carl, our next door neighbor here, died on Tuesday night. Didn't quite make it to 100. It's going to be 100 in June. I'm doing a family memorial service for Pat Hutchinson, our former custodian, who died on Saturday. No, Friday. Forgive me, Friday. And I just want you to know that. And she just requested a private family ceremony. There's a couple of you that she's invited to come. But I tell you what, man. If you're vertical, you need to be grateful, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a gift from God. That's why we call it the present, I think. We need to make the most of it. I thank God every morning for His gifts of life and health and today, especially His gift of salvation. Just like Paul did in Romans chapter 5. If you want to follow with me, you can turn to Romans chapter 5. Otherwise, just follow along in the outline here. Paul says, "Since we've been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through our faith has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy." Circle those words, the blessings of God's grace. Man, grace is a huge blessing. And we're happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory, His future rule and dominion. If you got Jesus in your heart, you got heaven in your future, man. And that ought to be cause for gratitude, right? Amen. You've got the hope of heaven in your heart. You've got unearned favor. You get a good you don't deserve if you've got Jesus as your Savior and your leader in life. Well, you know, it's that season again, isn't it, folks? And I'm not talking about Christmas, by the way. I'm talking about a season that rolls around every 4 years at the turn of the year. How many of you know what it is? Anybody? Huh? It's presidential pardon season. Imagine this. Imagine a convicted prisoner, a convicted criminal, in prison for life. The president pardons him at great personal cost, and then, in a radical mood, adopts him, brings him to live in his home, and gives him a role in his administration. Even years later, this person would have incredible gratitude in his heart for the pardon and the new lease in life. Wouldn't you? You know, if you think this story is unrealistic, the Bible says that God has done something even more outrageous. It's only a faint picture of the grace that God extends to each of us. We've each rebelled against God, haven't we? and broken His law when we've chosen to do our own thing, to live for ourselves, to give in to greed. The just penalty of which is death. Yet Christ came freely to stand in our place, to give us what we didn't deserve, grace. And here's an acronym that'll help you remember what grace really is. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And you can see now why Paul says that he's grateful that he's been brought into the blessing of the God's grace that we now enjoy. Man, that's cause for gratitude. Thank God for the basics. And the biggest one of those is His grace in Jesus. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace includes His complete forgiveness, eternal light, adoption into His family, His Holy Spirit's presence and power, and partnership in God's plan for the future, and enjoyment of God's presence forever. When you realize how great God's grace is, you know what? It can enable you to be thankful in any circumstance. And that's what Paul's driving at when he says this in Philippians. He says, I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Man, listen, you get a grip on God's grace, it can free you from ingratitude, can't it? It can free you from thanklessness. The second step to train yourself to be thankful is this: look for the positive potential in every problem. Thank God for the basics. Look for the positive potential in every problem. How many of you look for the positive in problems? Huh? I mean, don't be under the illusion that life doesn't have problems, right? Jesus says that we're going to have problems. In John 16, He says, guys, I'm going to warn you that you're going to have many problems in this life. You'll have many troubles in this world, but take heart, be encouraged. I've overcome the world. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, I want to warn those who marry that they will face many troubles in life. How many of you have found that to be true? Marriage is a lot of hard work, isn't it? Good marriages are hard work. Bad marriages are just plain hard. It's work that makes a difference. Listen, man, life has enough troubles of its own. I mean, how many of you have thought about your spouse? You know, I've got problems because of her or because of him. No. You have problems because of marriage. Marriage is tough work. Don't blame it on your spouse. Blame it on the fact that you two got to live together, two sinful people. Two self-centered people. Two people that sometimes can get gripped by greed and fear and those other things. Take heart. That's why Paul continues in chapter 3 of Romans verse 5. I love what he says. He says, we have joy with our troubles. We also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us. When we're unable to help ourselves at the right time, Christ died for us. Though we were living against God, very few people will die to save the life of someone else. Although perhaps a good person might possibly die. But God shows His great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Man. And that incredible gift of grace through Jesus' death. And that's why Paul can say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Amen. You know, it's been said that today's cow pies can become tomorrow's fertilizer. I think it's so true, isn't it? God can take all the crap and all the junk that today dishes you, and He can use it to help shape your character to become more like Jesus Christ. And when He can do that, man, guess what? It's fertilizer for your transformation, isn't it? And that is the reason that we can all rejoice, even in the toughest of times. Because God can use those bad times as well as all the good times to achieve His eternal purpose in us. One of the things that I love about Jeff Collins is he often says, well, take a look at the bright side. Right? I love that. Listen, that's what it means to look for positive potential in every situation, in every problem. To learn to look on the bright side. And the bright side is God can use anything to make you more like Jesus. And that ought to encourage each and every one of us. We can each become more like Jesus. The third point, if you want to train yourself to be thankful, besides learning to thank God for the basics and see the positive potential in every problem, is this. Catch your complaints. Catch your complaints before they leave your lips, or as Pastor Jeff would say, escape your pie hole. He says, just shut your pie hole. God's Word says, it says this, do everything without complaining or arguing. Would you circle that word, everything? I mean, that doesn't leave many escape clauses, does it? God, can't I just squawk about this? Because this is really grievous over here. Have you felt like that? Usually I don't complain, but this merits complaint. And how many of you got to admit that, you know, complaining feels good, doesn't it? Complaining can be kind of therapeutic in the short run, can't it, right? It's nice to feel aggrieved, isn't it? But it's really, really caustic to your soul, to your spirit. You know, when you're tempted to talk trash about tough times, zip your lip. Just zip your lip. Catch your complaints before they escape your mouth. It's much easier, folks, to focus on what you don't have, what you're missing out on, what you're owed, than to focus on what you do have. Missing out on the bad stuff you deserved. And looking at how you've been spared problems that other people have. So learn to catch your complaints. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. God says, guard your lips. Why is that? Because you know what? What comes out of your mouth shapes your heart, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us that what we confess builds up what we believe. And when you confess that life's going to hell in a handbasket, you start believing it. And then you start looking for it, don't you? And you become one of those negative people who have the clouds over their heads. Right? Like the guy in the cartoon of Gulliver's Travels, all the guy would say is, we're doomed. Don't want that guy to be my best friend. Catch your complaints. Point four, give generously. Give generously. Listen, generosity is God's antidote for greed and ingratitude. Generosity is God's antidote. Giving to others reminds you of your relative riches, doesn't it? Service, not serve us, is God's key to happiness. And you need to get that down, folks. I love what Paul says. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Can you underline that or circle that? Man, God loves a cheerful giver. When you give generously, you're acting like God, who causes His good to shine on the good and the bad, who gives rain to everyone, doesn't He? And it says, and God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. He says, if you cultivate generosity, He said, you'll be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. How many of you are praying for that? Oh, God, help me to become generous on every occasion. We usually don't pray those kind of prayers, do we, huh? Teach me generosity. That's right up there with teach me patience, isn't it? Huh? Absolutely. He says, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving God. Boy, that's really important. Generosity results in thanksgiving. There's a correlation between those two. When I'm generous, I become thankful of what I do have, comparative to what the needy person doesn't have. I've changed my focus of comparison from the person who's just above me to somebody who's not as well off as I am. As a result, man, I can count my blessings, right? Can complain about the holes in my socks until I come across someone who has no shoes. Then I can be grateful for my shoes and my socks and my feet. He says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. See, your generosity inspires others' gratitude as well, doesn't it? How many of you have had a random act of kindness recently? Somebody just was good to you and you didn't deserve it. You just got it. Anybody? How many of you said, you know what? It really provoked gratitude in me. Changed my heart. Brightened my day. Absolutely. We can create a change reaction if enough of us practice what God's Word challenges us to do. See, generosity is contagious. Just like criticism is contagious. It's contagious in another direction. And that's what we need to be liberated, to enjoy all of God's blessings. Let me talk to you about the discipline of giving. God wants us, as I said last week, God wants us to learn how to budget. How to budget for God so that we can give Him what He says is His, the tenth, the tithe. We can budget for our needs. We can budget for emergencies, but God wants us to learn how to budget for generosity. To create margins in our lives, not just with our money, but with our time and our attention, our energy, our possessions, so that we can give out when the Holy Spirit says, over there. And I want to free you from this. By the way, becoming generous doesn't mean that you have to answer every solicitation that you get in the mail. Okay? You're free from that. What it means is that you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when you get that prompting that God says, give there. Give to that person. Check on this person. See if they have this need. Do it. Do it. Because it's God in you that is stirring you up. And I also want you to know we're going to start something new in our Sunday morning services. We're going to start to include an offering in our worship set. So expect that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we've recognized that we have not been teaching or training you in giving. Not anywhere near as well as we should. And I don't like focusing on money, but what we need to do is really train you, train our children, that giving is part of worship. How many of you found that out? That giving is part of worship to God. And you know what? We need to put the two together. So what I want you to know is you can expect that starting next Sunday, somewhere in our worship set, we're going to just pass the pouches. It's between you and God. There's no pressure. You can put it in the boxes if you want. That's my preferred way of doing it. We pray over it as a family the night before. We put our tithes in that box. But for some of you who might forget otherwise or not in the habit of giving, we're going to give you that opportunity. Absolutely no arm twisting, by the way. And if you're not a member of Discover Church, don't have to give a bit. Especially if you're not a Christ follower. God just wants you to enjoy His grace and experience His love. And He'll do work in your heart. He'll plant generosity there. I can guarantee you that. Just open up your heart to Him first. Giving is not about what God wants from you. It's about what God wants for you. And when we train ourselves to be generous, we enlarge our hearts, don't we? Just like Scrooge, whose heart grew 3 times that day, that he decided to rescue all the things he stole from the Who's down in Whoville and give them back. Yeah, giving does make you feel good and it enlarges your heart. And I just want to invite you, you know what, you may not have budgeted for generosity. If you haven't, I just want to challenge you. Invest in Financial Peace University. We're going to show the preview of it right after the service, I believe right here, is that correct? Okay. Right here, Scott, right? Right in the kitchen? Or in the kitchen? It's going to be pretty tight. If too many people show up, okay, we're out here. We'll see how that fits today and also the 14th. Some of you don't know, you're already committed to it, great. But if not, come. Okay, and you'll, because listen, Dave Ramsey's all about learning to budget for needs, for God, for emergencies, and for generosity. And you'll learn how. Financial Peace University, Thursday nights starting January 8th. So I just want to give you that opportunity because we want to invest in you. And so that's what you can do to train yourself to be grateful or thankful. Thank God for the basics. Look for positives in every problem. You know, watch. Close your mouth when complaints come out, please. And just give generously. Try it. You'll like it. And the last one is this. If you want to learn to be grateful and thankful, can I give you this tip? And hang around happy people, would you? Hang around happy people. The Bible highlights a principle that you become like the people you hang out with. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15:33 it says, "Watch out, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character." You become like those you hang with, man. Bible says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." We all get in funks, don't we? We get down. We get depressed. Huh? We have our little pity parties. Man, when you do, you got to get around some happy people. It's funny how we gravitate toward other grumps when we're feeling grumpy. You know? Then you can become this little black hole, emotional black hole together. You know? Swallow each other up in your sadness. Get out of that rut, man! Listen. We need each other. Neil Anderson says, we desperately need God and we necessarily need one another. You're not going to make it in life or in faith without others cheering you on. We all need cheerleaders. We've got enough critics. We need more cheerleaders, don't we? How many of you can say, yeah, Pastor Kev, I need a few more cheerleaders in my life. The rest of you are all okay, huh? All right. All right. I was going to pray for you too. This is what God's word says. It said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Would you underline that? Think about ways to motivate each other. You ever thought of, wow, God wants us to be strategic in our encouragement. Because God knows that there are plenty of people that are real strategic in their criticism of you, aren't there? Absolutely. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of God's return is drawing near. Listen, I believe it takes positive people to tackle tough times. And that's one of the important reasons why you ought to weave worship here together as God's people in your work week. Because man, life dishes enough disappointing things your way, doesn't it? We all need encouragement. And that also tells you that one of the hats we need to wear when we show up here on Sundays is that encourager's hat. I need to look for opportunities to encourage other people. People get enough cold pricklies in life. They need some warm fuzzies, don't they? They need someone cheering them on. I think that's what has made Obama so popular. I really do. He's positive. He's hopeful. He's encouraging, isn't he? People want to be around him, want to follow him. You know what? You and I, we can do the same. Listen to Paul's advice to the church at Ephesus. He says, when you meet together, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as you praise the Lord with all your heart. Always use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to thank God the Father for everything. When we get together, we ought to be thankful. That's part of what our praise and worship is all about. It's about expressing our affection and our gratitude toward God for His grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's one of the reasons we get so excited around here. I just want you to understand that. We live in a demanding, a critical, a cynical, and a callous culture, don't we? Absolutely. The question that I have for you is this, is are you going to transfer that culture? Are you going to let it bring you into its orbit so that you become like it? Are you just going to transfer that culture to other people, to your kids and grandkids? Or are you going to transform it? Thanksgiving is a way to transform culture, folks. And that's why God wants us to become thanksgivers. I love what Paul says. He says, let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. God's given us a great mission here at Discover to change lives by connecting people to Christ in a life-changing way. But you can't be a life changer unless you've been changed, can you? Focus on God and He'll change your focus. That's what the author of the Bible says. If you're not taking in God's truth, you're not transforming your perspective, your expectations, your outlook, and your attitude. What's your strategy for taking in God's truth? I asked you that a couple weeks ago. Get God's recipe. Let the teaching of Christ dwell in you richly. You can do that by joining us on Sunday mornings at 9:15 in our Bible study. Or better yet, get into a small group. We've got growth groups that meet this week, and we're going to be looking at this message and unpacking it. Pick up a hostage study guide on the way out. We're going to cover last week's message and this week's message. And go back there in the small group while and look around and see if there's a group nearby you. I know there's room in our group at the Hum Box on Tuesday nights. And I believe that's the case with every other group. Get into one and get encouraged. I just want to challenge you to do that. Be a happy person. That's my last bit of advice. You want to be the kind of person that people want to hang around with, don't you? Amen. Gratitude is not a feeling that dictates your choices. Gratitude is a choice that shapes your feelings. Get that down, man. Gratitude is a choice that shapes your feelings. Most New Testament verses on gratitude are commands. They're addressed to our will, to our choice, rather than to our emotions. God's not telling us how we must feel. He's calling on us to choose to rejoice and be grateful on the basis of what's true, regardless of how happy or thankful we may feel. How can you become a happy person? Thank God for the basics. Thank others for the small stuff. Get in the habit of giving. And look for the positives in problems. Hang around with happy people. We've talked to you this series on being held hostage. We've talked about how, you know, getting into our culture's see-want-buy cycle has caused us to be gripped by greed and debt and fear. But it also causes us to be thankless, doesn't it? God's antidote is gratitude. It's generosity. God wants Thanksgiving not to be just a holiday, but to be a lifestyle. And that's your choice. Are you going to let Thanksgiving become a lifestyle, an outlook on life, or just a season? Let's pray, and we're going to close with a song. I want to pray with you. Dear God, we are so grateful for your grace that while we were still running rebels, dodging you, Christ died for us. God, I pray and ask that you would transform our hearts, that you would convict us, Holy Spirit, of the ways in which we are thankless, ungrateful, God, and that you would help us to train ourselves to be thankful, Lord. Show us the basics we can thank you for, God. We ask for that. We pray that, Lord God, you would help us to see the positives and problems, Lord, to discipline ourselves to guard our mouths when complaints are wanting to sneak out, Lord God. Help us to become generous. And lastly, Lord, to be intentional about hanging around happy people and becoming those happy people. We just pray for that and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to collect our Discover cards right now. We'd like to know your names and needs so that we can pray for you this week.
When I wake up, even before I fill my coffee cup, I say thank you, thank you. What if I look at the day and the hours ahead, before I move forward, I bow my head and say thank you, well, I said thank you. What if I looked at my life in a different way, took a little more time to stop and pray, I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go and say thank you for everything. Thank you for loving me. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will sing my thank you for sun and rain, for what you give and take away, for all your goodness. I will always say thank you. Well, I will sing my thank you. What if I lost everything that I had? I could smile and somehow still be glad and say thank you, thank you. Cause life is joy and life is pain, but the prayer in my heart will never change. I say thank you, oh, I say thank you. Oh, what if I looked at my life in a different way, took a little more time to stop and pray, I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go and say thank you for everything. Thank you for loving me. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will sing my thank you for sun and rain, for what you give and take away, for all your goodness. I will always say thank you. I will say my thank you. Everything, thank you, everything. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will say my thank you for sun and rain, for what you give and take away, for all your goodness. I will always say, for all your goodness. I will always say thank you. I said thank you.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. And God, open our eyes up to the good that He's got in our lives.